The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. It's good to be back. Thanks to Richard Palmer and Robert Morley for filling in for me the last couple of programs. Well, here we are. We're already in the month of May, just a couple of days, as it happens, just a couple of days away from KPCG's one-year anniversary. May 5th last year was when it all got started. And with the one-year anniversary coming up, this would be a good time to email the show at td@kpcg.fm. Tell us what you think about the station, KPCG. Tell us what you think about the program, this program, the Trumpet Daily radio show. And speaking of this one, TDR, we've had some impressive numbers this past week on SoundCloud in particular, the four programs that I did last week. If you look on our SoundCloud cloud page, the one that we did last, this would be Thursday, April 28th, on the Days of Unleavened Bread, the perfect picture that these days represent. There's 1,469 plays so far on SoundCloud as of just checking a few minutes before the show. And the day before, we had a program titled, Is Donald Trump the Answer? 1,369 plays. And the day before that, the one on what Brexit would mean for the future of Europe, 930 plays. And then the first one we did last week, this is from April 25th on Monday, President Obama did order the Churchill bust to be removed. That has 1,305 plays, all of this as of this morning. So three out of four programs from last week with over 1,300 plays. And what's interesting is that if you scroll through the SoundCloud page that we have, you have to go back more than a month to find the last program that had more than 1,300 plays. It happens to be from March 31st. As I say, that's over a month ago. The one that we did on 61 More Prisoners Granted Clemency by President Obama, you might remember that show. It has 1,770 plays. But so many of the others, and again, these are programs that have been on there, posted 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, and they're still sitting at 900, 1,000 plays perhaps, excepting that one that I just mentioned there. And then coming up to last week, as I say, three out of the four generating 1,300 or more plays on SoundCloud. The one on Unleavened Bread had 1,469. Well, you add to this, the averages we're receiving in other areas, 200 podcast downloads per episode. That's about what we're averaging. People getting it on, getting the program on iTunes, downloaded to their phone or whatever device. And then an estimated 100 or so listen to each episode of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show via the one of the live streams that plays on the website, or that plays, both websites, KPCG and thetrumpet.com. And then I checked today, too, on the TuneIn app, and we've got around 660 followers as of this morning. So you add it all up, and last week, just judging by the SoundCloud figures, last week was probably one of our strongest weeks yet, if not the strongest week that we've had with respect to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Well, on TV this past weekend here in the UK, the program that played was God's Awesome Purpose for Mankind. It's on the website right now, so you can see that if you haven't seen it yet. But we only had 88 people call in to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Now, we did offer the correspondence course in mid-February, and we've also plugged it a few times on other programs, just mentioning it in passing. So it is something that we have really emphasized this year. And you might also remember the little advert that we put on the envelopes that we used to distribute literature from here in the UK, from our regional office. And each week, that typically gets three or four more people enrolled in the course. This is just coming from people that have already requested a book or a booklet, and they see the little print ad on the envelope, and then they enroll. So we're definitely emphasizing the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course, and we will continue to do so, even if it is one of the lower responses. As I recall, the one we had in mid-February also didn't generate that big of a response. But if you think about someone calling in to enroll in that 36-lesson course, hopefully there'll be good contacts. And hopefully just the fact that 88 called in is a sign that those 88 hopefully will be serious about studying their Bibles. Of course, as you know, if you've heard anything about the correspondence course or the stats that we have for it before, it is something that a lot of people drop out of because it does take commitment. It does take dedication. But, I mean, there's really not much that we have that can just totally transform. Well, I mean, all of our literature does, I guess, if you look at it in the large body of works that this church has. But in the correspondence course, if someone commits to those 36 lessons and stays with it through to the end, I mean, that will transform an individual's life for sure. Mystery of the Ages certainly does that too. But that's not as much content as even what the correspondence course has. So it really is a way to be educated in the truth of God. So that is something that we'll continue to highlight as the year unfolds. As I say, it's hard to believe we're already a third of the way through the year now into the month of May. Well, about a month ago, we talked on this program about how some of our most dedicated listeners and supporters, those supporting God's work, our most avid listeners to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, many of our most dedicated readers of the Trumpet Magazine and the other books and booklets that we distribute freely, many of these people are well into their 50s, 60s, 70s, even older. And on that program from about a month ago, I mentioned how important it is for older Christians to keep growing, even late in life, especially late in life. Jesus, after all, said that we must endure to the end. That's in Matthew 24:13. We have to finish. We have to finish. And for the true Christian, that means that we have to keep growing. We have to keep growing and improving, even as our bodies slow down. I mean, the outward man perishes, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians. But the inner man is renewed day by day, a daily renewal, even as we advance in age. Dennis Leap had an article in the latest Trumpet magazine. This is the May-June issue. It just came out. It's on saving yourself from screen addiction. It's a great little piece that talks about, well, you can see by the title what it's encouraging us to do. But it's interesting, this article, he talks about a couple of case studies where these adults gave up internet and their smartphones. They went on a technology fast, I guess, and instead relied upon studying from hard copies, books and other publications and such. And, of course, they noticed as they did this that their critical thinking improved. And their ability to concentrate showed improvement as well. They became more patient, more reflective, better at problem solving. And as I read through that over the weekend, I thought, well, that's encouraging to think that when, let's say, we get lazy and we get into some bad habits, take the easy road, that as Mr. Leap points out in that article, we can turn it around, go on a fast, so to speak, and get back on track and begin to make changes that actually improve our critical thinking and ability to concentrate, even as we get older. This is a quote from his article. And he's quoting from this lady who writes for Medical Daily. And she says, reading in and of itself has plenty of benefits for our minds. Studies have shown that reading over the course of a lifetime, or even starting to read consistently when you're well into your 60s and 70s, can prevent mental decline, even starting when you're in your 60s or 70s, he says, quoting this gal from Medical Daily, that it can prevent mental decline. It says, along with keeping your mind sharp and enlarging your knowledge base, reading can expand your sense of empathy too. A 2013 study found that when people were transported into emotional travails of books' characters, they grew to become more empathetic in real life. She's talking there about fiction. Of course, there's a lot of fiction that's not really good to read, but there is some. Of course, Dennis Leap has his own radio show on this network or this station that guides you to the very best literature. But you add to that, of course, the important nonfiction works of history, biographies, and so on. And as he brings out here, I mean, even in starting well into your 60s or 70s, there's so many wonderful benefits that come from study. It says here, the Fisher Center for Alzheimer's Research Foundation reports, reading books and magazines, writing and participating in other mentally stimulating activities, no matter your age, can help to keep memory and thinking skills intact, a new study suggests. The findings add to growing evidence that mental challenges like reading and doing crossword puzzles may help to preserve brain health and stave off symptoms of Alzheimer's in old age. And so we need mental challenges, and it helps us as we grow older. And in fact, we need physical challenges too. Even as we grow older, even as the body slows down. I want to read through a few verses over in Colossians chapter 1. If you'd like to read along, go and get your Bible and see what it says here in a few of these passages. Very encouraging scriptures about how we can be, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4, renewed, daily, strengthened, empowered. Over the weekend, as you turn to Colossians, I'll just mention this story that appeared in the New York Times. It caught my eye I was into this study and have been talking about it in a program or two as well. And also, of course, I'm getting older myself and looking for ways to challenge myself more mentally and even physically. But this was an interesting article in the New York Times. I think this is written by an individual that wrote a book on the subject. And then there was this synopsis of it in the New York Times. But this guy is a lifelong editor and author, so he's worked at a desk most of his life. And then he decided to take up tennis at the age of 55. And in this article, he encourages readers, older readers, even in their 50s or 60s, to find something difficult to do and to immerse yourself into it. To immerse yourself into it and really work to improve. And then he asked this question to his older readers. He said, when is the last time you improved at anything? He talked about careers and how that, you know, the prime of a career is during the 30s and 40s, and that you're obviously working your way up, improving, growing, developing, and so on. But that if we're not careful, we can plateau as we get into our 50s and 60s. And he's here not just talking about a career, but in this case, a hobby. And ask, when is the last time that you've improved at anything? Now, there's lots of spiritual parallels that can be made throughout here, but you see in all of this too how that the physical and the spiritual are oftentimes connected. Colossians 1 and verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God, or rather of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Be filled with it. And then Paul goes on and says in verse 10, this is Colossians 1, that you might walk worthy of the eternal unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So be filled with knowledge. And then in the next verse he says, and be increasing in knowledge. So knowledge alone isn't enough. We have to increase in that knowledge, or grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Peter said. And of course, the tremendous advantage that we have as Christians, that's obviously not brought out in that New York Times piece, is that if we are growing spiritually, if we're increasing in the knowledge of God, there's real strength in that, even physically, even when it comes to energy, even when it comes to the ability to concentrate and to think critically. The next verse here, verse 11, says, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, strengthened with might. That's right, God is an unbelievably fantastic source of power. And the bigger He is in your life, the stronger we will be spiritually, mentally, even physically. We'll look at a pretty inspiring example of that in the next segment. But be strengthened with might. Paul said that here in Colossians. He used similar language in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 3, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. I mean, the burdens that we face, the obstacles, the trials and the tests, they get a lot smaller the more we bring this mighty source of power into our lives. Now, we've got to do our part. We rely on God. We look to God. We increase in the knowledge of God. And then we've got to do our part in this Christian life. Paul said, don't be weary in well-doing. Or another translation of that verse in Galatians 6, it says, let us not grow tired of doing good. We can't allow ourselves to get tired spiritually. That's what's happened to a lot of God's people in this end time. They've gone to sleep. They're not active anymore, spiritually speaking. They stopped trying. They stopped improving. They stopped growing. Coming back to this New York Times article, Better Aging, this is the title, Better Aging Through Practice, Practice, Practice. He says here, I'm talking about improving at a demanding skill. Remember the question he asked, when is the last time you improved at anything? And then he says here, I'm talking about improving at a demanding skill or set of skills, a craft, a discipline. I have in mind something that will take years to get proficient at, something that there is a correct way of doing, handed down for generations or even ages, and for which there is no way for you to create shortcuts with your cleverness and charm. In other words, do something hard, do something that's challenging. Do something that might even take years to do. You think about the challenge, spiritually, of the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Whether it's for a young person coming out of college, or someone who's middle-aged, or someone who's a senior, advanced in years. Do harder things, even when you get older. Just because we're older, by the way, doesn't mean that we're destined to live unhealthy, inactive lives. Aging certainly doesn't mean that we can't learn new things. Getting older physically, it shouldn't prevent us from using our mental faculties or even from being physically active. This article says here there are quantifiable benefits often associated with taking up something like tennis and getting better at it. Your brain, it's thought, will be recast and strengthened. Denise Park, a neuroscientist at the University of Texas at Dallas, randomly assigned more than 200 older people to different new activities for roughly 15 hours a week and found that only those who had learned and refined a complicated skill improved their memories. Well, you can even improve your memory. How many people as they age lament the fact that, well, the fact as they see it anyway, that the memory just gets worse and worse and worse. There are ways. I mean, it's not something that we have to accept, that this is just what sets in, inevitably. Poor health, lack of energy, inactivity, bad memory, you know, eventually losing. I mean, that's what society wants us to believe about those who age physically. This author goes on to note the obvious physical benefits, health benefits, physically, to maintaining a more active existence. In his case, he took up tennis and has really worked hard at it. There's another article, by the way, in that Trumpet magazine, the latest issue. I mentioned the one by Dennis Leap. There's another one that pointedly asks, why are we so fat? And it says here, this is at the conclusion of the article, individually, we must be motivated to stay healthy through diet and lifestyle. And we have to act on it. We have to forego the fries and choose the salad. We have to resist that second helping. We have to suck it up and do a little exercise. It says here, the most cutting-edge cure for obesity is acknowledging reality and acting on it. See, it takes action to stay fit physically. And the older you get, the harder it is to maintain the kind of physical activity that we need to keep the muscle mass and to keep the fat off and to stay energetic. This New York Times article, it says here, you may have heard of the psychologist K. Anders Ericsson and the 10,000 hours of practice rule. It's often misconstrued a bit. The key is typically not the time you put in to get better, but the time you spend under the watchful eye of a coach, a teacher, or trainer, someone who can spot quickly what you're doing wrong and immediately correct it, or try to. This author says here, he's now in his 60s, I won't live long enough to have 10,000 hours to devote to personalized tennis training, but I have spent lots of time with a coach. There can be no improvement, not the kind I'm talking about, without that coaching. Here again, you can see lots of physical, spiritual parallels here. But look at the importance all through the Bible that God places on proper, well, coaching, if you will, or training, teaching. Look at Ephesians 4 about the gifts that God provides the church for the perfecting of the saints. I mentioned to our students here at the college a few weeks back, we were attending an award ceremony for the World Championships of Irish dance, and in the competition that my son was in, it was just great when they were announcing all of the boys to come up on the podium, the first place, second place, third place, fourth, and so on, that they'd announce the boys to come up, and then also all of their teachers, all of their coaches. And in some cases, these are some of the better dance schools in the world. There were 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 dance instructors, 6 teachers, 6 certified instructors. And I know even in my own son's case, I mean, just the improvement that he has seen since moving here a little over a year ago, I mean, that's directly attributable to just the amazing coaching that he receives. Someone that's there and that can spot quickly what he's doing wrong and immediately help him to correct it. Look at that example sometime later in Acts 8, where God told Philip, if you remember, to head down toward Gaza, and he was going to meet up there with this Ethiopian eunuch who was there sitting in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip ran up to him and and said, what are you reading? Do you understand it? And that Ethiopian said, how can I, except some man should guide me? How can I understand this truth? How can I understand this way of life unless some man teaches me? Some man of God, that is. Did you know that's how it's going to be in the world tomorrow? The wonderful world tomorrow after Jesus Christ returns? That's why he's raised up the church today. To prepare teachers. To prepare instructors. To prepare coaches. You can read about that more over in Isaiah 30. About the teachers from behind saying, look, this is the way to go. Walk this way. This is God's way of life. You have to head in this direction. Well, as I say, you look at what this church is producing and what comes off of this radio station, what's on our website, thetrumpet.com. There's a lot of instruction there for our edification and learning, for our growth, for our improvement, spiritually speaking. I mean, even with the physical, that Why Are You So Fat article in the latest Trumpet, it says there right at the end of the article that this is written by a registered holistic nutritionist. We need professional instruction. And as I say, if you've followed this work for very long, you know that God provides his children with teachers and coaches. They're everywhere. And we all need it. Not just the youth. Not just the young people. Not just the teenagers. But we need that instruction. We need it, even with that example, the tennis player who's playing now in his 60s, he doesn't have enough time left in his life to put in the 10,000 hours of practicing tennis, but he can receive a lot of coaching. He can receive a lot of direction, a lot of instruction. That's the way we need to approach aging if we're going to age successfully. If we're going to be active, energetic, dedicated, supportive listeners to KPCG or supporters of the work of God, there's only just a few of us. And God needs us. God needs us to be praying fervently for those 88 that signed up for the correspondence course this past weekend. That God would give them the strength, the discipline, the drive to stay with their study all the way through to the end of that wonderful course. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma, our headquarters campus. The live stream is available at thetrumpet.com website and also kpcg.fm. Don't forget to email us as we're coming up to our one-year anniversary. Send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Jesus said, "Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." But God wants to bring you out of sin, just as he delivered the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. He wants to empower you to live sin-free, a totally different, God-centered way, walking in newness of life. It is a life of blessings, of understanding, peace, fulfillment, and joy. But it is not the broad, easy way. Jesus said that narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. This booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, will help guide you along that narrow path that leads to righteousness and blessings. The Christian life is full of challenges and trials. It requires learning God's will and following it, even against temptation and self-desire. It demands struggle and sacrifice. It is a life of overcoming and conquering sin. The Bible backs this up from the first chapters of Genesis to the final chapters of Revelation. Scripture frequently describes it as a struggle, a fight, a battle. How to Be an Overcomer is the perfect field manual you need to rule your own spirit well and to overcome your adversary. Request How to Be an Overcomer today and learn about what it takes to win your war against sin. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program.
And we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How much are you growing in knowledge? Do you know more now than you did when I spoke here 3 years ago? Well, I do. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot since the first of this year. In my 90th year, I've learned a lot. How much are you learning every year? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you overcoming the ways that Satan got into you and the way of the world around you? You will never get into the kingdom of God unless you are, brethren. You're not already there. You're on trial. And we're coming to the time of final exams right now. We're getting very close to the time of the second coming of Christ. Very, very close.
That's a great example there of someone who kept growing even into his 90s. He was in his 90th year when he gave that message. So that would have been 1982, 1983, I guess. And he talked about what he had been learning in that 90th year, and you think about the dates there and what he said there in that message, that's before he even started work on Mystery of the Ages. He didn't even begin Mystery of the Ages until after that quote you heard there, coming from a very old man physically. What an example. He said later after that quote that he did his greatest work, the greatest work of his life, in that final year. That's when he produced Mystery of the Ages. That's amazing when you think of it. A few years before that quote that you just heard, that clip, he wrote this article, a well-known article for many of us, What are the Secrets of My Youthful Vitality? That appeared in print in 1975. Mr. Armstrong at the time was 82 years of age and keeping quite a schedule in the mid-70s, traveling the world, meeting with dignitaries, presidents, prime ministers, presenting the program on World Tomorrow or the World Tomorrow program. He was editor-in-chief of the Plain Truth magazine, chancellor of the college, and the final years of his life. As he said so later, those were the most productive years. Well, he says in this article from 1975, so many people over the years, as he got older, came up to him and just said, "How do you do it? What's your secret? Why so much vitality and energy? What's the secret to your long life? To the drive?" He mentioned in the article how someone guessed his age when he was in his early 80s and assumed he must be around 60 because he just seemed so healthy. And notice what he says here. This is from What Are the Secrets of My Youthful Vitality. He said, "I think my seven laws of success might be applicable here." That's in reference to his booklet by that title, Seven Laws of Success. Law number one is having the right goal. It seems most people have no goal in life at all. If you remember in that program about a month ago when we touched on this same subject, I quoted from another article where he drove by this old folks home, as they sometimes call them, with people out on the balcony just looking like they had no purpose in life. They weren't looking forward to anything. And these were people, as he said there, that were in their 60s or 70s. Just basically hanging around, waiting to die. He talks about being goal-oriented in this article. He says, I started my adult life with a definite goal. I chose the profession of advertising and journalism. But 48 years ago, that was changed. I learned then that it had prepared me for the right goal, which became my life goal. It's a very great commission, and it's even far beyond, or rather far from finished. It's even yet far from finished. I think there's no other secret that has had more to do with preserving youthful vitality and zeal and keeping me alive and active 13 years past the supposed allotted lifespan. So much of it just came down to being goal-oriented, setting his sights on the right goal. He says that life goal keeps me always looking forward in anticipation, not backward, living in the past. It impels me to observe carefully many of the other laws of success. The drive, the resourcefulness, the endurance, sticking to it with perseverance. When many would have given up and retired and decided they were too old to stay on the job. Well, he goes through some of the other laws. Continuing his education, remember again what Paul said in Colossians 1. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That was Mr. Armstrong to a T. Producing Mystery of the Ages in the last year of his life. The education never stopped. He said also, good health, that's one of the seven laws of success. That's important that we be in good health, and it is possible to be in good health. Even as an old person, you think about all the benefits that you have from God's truth about proper health and nutrition, some of which is discussed in the latest Trumpet magazine, as I said in segment one. Those are blessings, those laws of physical health. And our health can improve. I mean, God says it's given to man once to die. Of course, we're all going to die physically at some point. But God didn't mean for us to live, 55 pretty good years and then to spend the last 15, 20 years sick without any energy, debilitated in every way. That's not what he intended. Now, some of that happens sometimes because we bring it on ourselves. Cause and effect. There are laws. In any event, this wonderful example here, I mean, look at what Mr. Armstrong kept doing, even as he crossed 90. He says, this goal has served to prod me constantly in the fourth law of success, drive. I've kept a determined prod on myself. Drive, he says, perseverance. And then the all-important seventh law of success, just to skip around on this article, which is the guidance of and faith in the reliance on God the Creator. I'm in constant contact with Him all the day long, every day. I seek His guidance constantly. I seek and rely on His help. He says many times when people ask me, how do you do it? Or what's your secret of such youthful vigor and such a long life, I just tell them, read the last four verses of Isaiah 40. Well, we'll do that here. Let me just take you to Psalm 92 first. Psalm 92, and then we'll go over to those few verses in Isaiah 40 that Mr. Armstrong referenced quite a few times in articles about his youthful vitality, his physical health, his energy, his strength. Notice what it says in Psalm 92 and verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Eternal shall flourish in the courts of our God. And then verse 14 says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Even in old age, it says in another translation, they'll produce fruit and remain vital and green. Even in old age. You see, when God says in the Scriptures to increase in the knowledge of God or to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, does He mean for that just when you're in your prime? A lot of people think that way today. And then when retirement comes, well, then it's time to kick back. It's time to take it easy. Well, supposing you do retire from the job, I mean, what's there for the next chapter of your life? What if Mr. Armstrong would have retired at 55, at 65, spiritually, or even from the work, physically? It's a great example. Now, we do have a lot of supporters who have retired from, you know, the career or the job that they worked for many, many, many years. But as I said at the start of this show, so many of them are some of the most dedicated supporters of this work, volunteering their time, their energy, their effort to help get this work done. That's how this work gets done. You can turn over to Isaiah 40 if you want to read that along with me. As you do, let me just give you another quote from Mr. Armstrong. This is from a 1977 letter where he talks about how often he kidded others about how he was 39 going on 38. He was getting younger, he would joke. But notice what he says. This is from 1977 when he talked about, as he often did, what's the secret to this youthful vitality? Well, God, of course, provided him with the help and the power and the strength. And notice, though, he says, but there may have been a slight misunderstanding in some of this, and I wish to be utterly frank and not to pretend. It is true, the dynamic power, energy, and drive has been there. It is true that probably not one in 100, half my age, could do the work that I've been doing. But what I feel most of you have not realized is that much, if not most of all that energy, vitality, drive, and power has come from two sources. God, of course. God. And then he says, and sheer determination and self-drive, even when I did not feel up to it. He had to push himself. He had to do hard things. He had to keep driving himself. He had to keep persevering. He had to be resourceful. He couldn't coast. He couldn't just drift. He had to drive himself. And first and foremost, he had to drive himself in the direction of God, the source of his spiritual power and strength. Isaiah 40, verse 26, it says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things that brings out their host by number? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one fails. God is strong. What a tremendous source of power. And to think of the limitless depth of his thoughts, his mind. And that's the source of power that Herbert Armstrong tapped into. And you can too. Verse 28 says, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. I mean, he just has limitless energy as well. Never ending. And notice what it says in the next few verses. He gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint. If you're feeling weak, if you're feeling lethargic, if you're feeling tired and worn out, you can go to God as a tremendous source of power. Because he says here, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He'll even give us the boost that we need, in some cases, physically. Now, we need to do our part and keep his physical health laws and stay active and not just slow down and think we can coast. But if we're actively, energetically going after God, he will fill us with power and zeal. It says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Eternal shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. God gives power to the weak. That's why we don't ever want to give up. That's why we shouldn't say, I just can't do it anymore. I'm too old. I'm too old. This guy that wrote the article in the New York Times, the tennis example. I mean, he acknowledged there that he's obviously not going to, he's not going to be the kind of player that is a 22-year-old professional. But as he said in his article, he has improved. And in some cases, he's worked at camps and in workouts with some of those young professionals. And he's really seen a lot of improvement in his skill because he's taking it seriously. He's working at it. He's working out hard to get better. He's receiving a lot of private lessons, a lot of coaching, a lot of training. It would be easy at that age to just coast on previous success. Well, I've been at a desk my whole life. You know, I'm an excellent editor. I'm good at reading. That's my specialty. That's my strength. And then to maybe just start to shut it down once retirement hits. Mr. Armstrong, and this, sorry, I'm reading so much, but these are amazing quotes. This one's from 1967. He's talking about the awakening that the church at that time needed. The church as a whole, that it needed to be spiritually rejuvenated. And notice how it started to bog down there in the late 60s. He abruptly corrected it, but he gives this pretty candid account of what he felt like he was doing or not doing. He says, it's begun with those ministers God has placed at the top level responsibilities in his great work right here at HQ. This ordeal has rudely shocked us into a realization that we were becoming sluggish spiritually, and we were unaware of it. He's talking about the ordeal of his wife's sickness. He says, it's begun with me. I didn't realize it. I seemed to have a heart condition, so I felt I had to slow down. Now notice here how the physical, again, ties together with the spiritual. He had this heart condition. He thought, well, I have to slow down. And even a 2 or 3 block walk brought pains in my lungs associated with my heart. There was high blood pressure. Brethren, I have been frankly startled to find that even I, whom God is using as your human leader, was bogging down, just barely crawling along, so to speak, on this narrow, rutty, difficult road that leads to God's kingdom and everlasting life. I have been greatly slowed down. I was coasting on past momentum. Wow. So, I mean, he had a downturn somewhere along the way. And, I mean, he was, by that point, 1967, what would he have been? In his early 70s. And even at the early 70s stage, he was able to alter the course, to correct course, to make changes, to challenge himself, to go back to improvement, growth, and development. He says here, we've humbled ourselves before him. We've confessed our shortcomings and our sins. We've repented. I've changed my daily routine, my entire life. The fasting and the prayer has resulted in almost completely removing all signs of the heart condition or high blood pressure. There's an improvement there in health, physical health, in his early 70s. For 4 years, I had to live knowing I could drop dead at any second. Now pounds have been taken off. Now I can take longer, more vigorous walks. Now I'm taking them 3 times a day, regardless of circumstances, which might try to prevent. Now, no matter how many conferences are scheduled, no matter how pressing some urgent executive responsibility, I'm going 3 times or more a day to my prayer room that God's blessed me with, there to commune with him and to keep closer to God. My life from now will be far more active. And that new routine is already in effect and becoming well established, he said. I'm crying out to God to purge from me all that hinders, to give me more of his spirit, his power, his faith. And so there was a time in his life where he bogged down, when he coasted on past momentum, and he had to, he needed a course correction. He had to really push himself through those obstacles to lay aside every weight, as Paul said. He had to get back to a more active lifestyle. That took drive. That took sheer determination on his part. And of course, combined with the power of God. Notice this example in conclusion here. This is from Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. Mr. Armstrong, of course, gives us a very, well, just a riveting account and an excellent example to look to from our day, living his long life through most of the 20th century. But you can look back at the book of Joshua and see another amazing example of someone who served and obeyed God, even in old age. And he was strong and productive and active. This is the story of Caleb as the Israelites had settled into the promised land. Joshua 14 and verse 7, it says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Eternal, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Eternal my God. Now you know what happened with Joshua and Caleb. You can go read it for yourself in Numbers 13 and 14. Those 12 spies went into the land, and when they came back, I mean, Joshua and Caleb, I mean, they admitted that there were huge obstacles there. But they said, God will deliver us. He will protect us. He'll give us this land that he's promised. The other 10, of course, were just absolutely terrified, and they exaggerated everything that they saw. Huge giants were just like grasshoppers compared to them. And it just got the whole congregation whipped up into a frenzy of rage. Of rage, that false report. Well, God, he just put all of the Israelites to death, the older generation, because of their constant grumbling and murmuring and complaining. Save these two, Joshua and Caleb. Verse 10 says, and now behold, the Eternal has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 now. I was 40 when this all began. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. The NIV says, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. He was ready to go and conquer the area around Hebron. Some of the other younger ones were just fine to go into bits and parts of the promised land and to not remove the inhabitants like God said they should. Not Caleb. Caleb, I mean, he wasn't feeling the effects of old age. He felt like he did when he was in his prime. Now, how much of that was God miraculously working, empowering him? And how much of it was Caleb? Was it Caleb just being active and physically fit and obeying God's health laws? Combination of both, as we've seen. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Eternal spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Eternal said. Now, that statement there, verse 12, is very similar to what he said in Numbers 13 and verse 30, when he spied out the land and said, hey, we will overcome it. Caleb had the same mindset. Forget about how he had changed physically. If he was showing the effects of age, I'm sure he was to some extent. More tired. You know, he had to recoup. He had to be rejuvenated with longer periods of refreshment and rest. Who knows? But here he is saying, look, I'm as strong as I was back when I was 40. And a lot of that was because of his mindset. He knew that God would deliver them. That's what happens when you wholly follow the Eternal, our God. If we're following God with our whole hearts, we'll never retire from spiritual labor. We'll never retire from this work, from supporting this work. God will empower us. God will strengthen us. And we will make a worthwhile contribution to his work in this end time. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream is at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm. We are out of time for today's program. That's all we have time for. Send those emails as we come upon our anniversary, td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.